Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm so glad you could join us, and I hope and pray that the Lord will bless you as we study His Word. And the subject for today is entitled, The Three R's of Salvation. The Three R's of Salvation. And I'm going to begin with Romans chapter 5, if you'd like to turn and follow along in your Bibles, Romans 5. And then later we'll be going to Romans 3 and 1 Peter chapter 1. But Romans 5 will start talking about the three R's of salvation. Now, an old preacher once said that every sermon ought to contain these three words that all begin, three phrases rather, that all begin with the letter R. And it's an easy thing to remember as far as just remembering the fact of it. But these three R's that I'm going to give you are things that, unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, you won't see the reality of it. And you have to understand this is what the Bible teaches. And here, let me give you the three R's to start off with. The first R is ruined. Ruined by the fall. Now, why that's one of the R's of salvation is because it tells us why we need to be saved. We fail in the sin and death through Adam, ruined by the fall. The second R is redeemed by the blood. And that's the ground of salvation. That speaks of redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we get out of the mess that we're in, that we fell into in Adam, our ruination. And then the third R is regeneration by the Spirit. And that's the fruit of salvation. Being born again. Regeneration is a term. You find it some in the scripture, not much, but it describes the new birth. You must be born again. So those are the three R's. Ruined by the fall, redeemed by the blood, and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. So let's start with R number one. Ruined by the fall. Now, most people will admit that they are sinners. We often quote a passage out of the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 23, which says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you understand what that really involves when you say we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God? It's not that we just have all made mistakes. We have actually sinned. We've rebelled. Now, the word sin in that verse is the most common New Testament word for sin. There are several words that describe the issues of sin in the Bible. But the most common word for sin in the New Testament is that word that's translated sin in Romans 3:23, and it's also translated as sin in Romans 5 and verse 12. And so we've all sinned. And what it means, it is to miss the mark. Now, you have to understand that being a sinner doesn't mean that you are immoral or irreligious or insincere in the eyes of men. But it means you fall short of a mark, a standard. And the standard in Romans 3:23 is the glory of God. The glory of God. And what is the glory of God? Well, the Bible teaches us plainly that the glory of God, the glory of God that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write about there, is the glory of God in the salvation of sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by His grace. And that's the standard that we fall short of. It is seen in the glorious person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question is, when we come to the three R's, the first one being ruined by the fall, that's what we're talking about. How do we get in this mess that we're in? How'd this come about? If you go back to Genesis and it talks about how God created the world, and everything was good and man was good, but man fell. And how did we get into this mess? And look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, wherefore, and what he means by wherefore, for this reason. Now what he's talking about, for what are you proving here, Paul? What reason for what? Well, he had said over in Romans 3 that there's none righteous, no, not one. Not one out of the whole mass of natural humanity. There's not one person who meets the standard. That's what he's saying. And the standard is righteousness. Where is righteousness to be found? Go around the world, go throughout history of human beings, and according to Bible, to the Bible, according to God's Bible, God's Word, God's standard, there is none righteous. No, not one. There's none. The best of the best of the best do not measure up to the standard of righteousness that can only be found in Christ, the Lord our righteousness. It goes on there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 11 says, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God, there's none that doeth good, no, not one, according to God's standard. Now, how did we get in this mess? Over here in Romans chapter 5, he talks about sinners being without strength. That speaks of the sinner's inability to glorify God, to honor and obey God in the right way. It speaks of Christ dying for his people when we were yet sinners. It speaks of being enemies of God. Now, how do we get in that mess? Verse 12, Romans 5, 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and listen to this, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, literally, in the original language, there it would say, death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. Sinned in Adam. Well, what does that mean? Does that sound fair? That when Adam sinned, I sinned? Well, you have to understand that the Bible tells us that God, in His sovereign purpose, when He created this world and He put Adam in the garden, He had already purposed to make Adam the federal head, the representative of the whole human family, all of his posterity. Now, you may be a person who says, well, I don't like that. It doesn't sound fair or just to me. I'd rather stand on my own two feet. Well, here's the first thing you got to understand about that. Doesn't matter if you like it or you agree with it. That's the way it is. The Bible teaches that God views this whole human race either in one of two persons, either Adam condemned or Christ justified. And if it weren't that way, you could just mark it up. We'd all be lost. And if you want to stand before God on your own two feet without a representative, let me tell you what you're asking for. You're asking for eternal death and condemnation. The Bible speaks of the non-elect angels who have no Savior, no mediator, no representative. God, in His wisdom, for the purposes of His glory, in the salvation of His people by Jesus Christ the Lord, appointed Adam to be the federal head. This is federalism, federal theology. A lot of people don't like it. We have a federal system in our country. We have representatives that we send. We elect them. Now, we didn't elect Adam, but I'll tell you who did. God did. And it was His sovereign right to do so. And if you don't like it, you argue with Him. That's what He says. Wherefore, as by one man, who is this one man? Adam, the representative, the federal head of the whole human race, so that when Adam acted in rebellion against God, sinned against God, declared his autonomy, that means his self-rule, that's what he did, he fell, and the whole human race fell in Adam. Wherefore, verse 12, wherefore, ruined by the fall, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered in the world. That's how sin got here, through Adam's rebellion. And death by sin. Now, death is the just sentence and consequence of sin. Back over in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord told Adam and Eve, he says, you can eat of all the trees of this garden except one tree. And that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what that tree represented symbolically was God's sovereign right to set the rules, to make the rules, and set the standard of what's right and what's wrong. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Doesn't mean that Adam and Eve, before they ate, they were stupid, or they didn't know right from wrong. Because God told them, you can eat of any tree except that one, and he said, in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. That's the punishment. Sin demands death. And death comes in many forms. For example, what God actually told Adam back in Genesis 2, verse 17, in the day that you eat thereof, dying thou shalt die. And we can talk about physical death. Now, Adam did not die immediately physically, but the process of aging, the coming on of disease and corruption and decaying, that began. Adam lived to be 800, 900 years old, but he died physically. The Bible says this body is dead because of sin. Even sinners saved by grace die physically, and that's a consequence of sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And then, what happened to Adam immediately? Spiritual death. Now, this is what you have to understand about being ruined by the fall. It brought on spiritual death. Over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 1, it starts out like this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's spiritual death. Now, what does that mean? Spiritual death, ruined by the fall, in spiritual death means that we don't have a spiritual capacity to know, believe, love, and appreciate the things of the Spirit of God, the things that glorify God. That's we have a conscience, but it's defiled. We have a mind, but it's fallen. We have a will. You can do what you want to do, but the problem is in spiritual death, you won't want the things that glorify and honor God in Christ. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually understood. You have to be given spirit. You have physical eyes, but you don't have, by nature, as we are naturally born, but you don't have spiritual eyes. The Bible says if we have spiritual eyes, we've been given them in the new birth, and we'll talk about that in a minute. That's why Christ told the disciples in Matthew chapter 13 when he spoke in parables as a judgment against those who refused to believe. He said, blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Christ said you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You don't have spiritual eyes. So spiritual death means you do not have the spiritual capacity and ability to receive and know and love and appreciate the gospel. Somebody says, you of your own free will accept Jesus as your personal Savior. No, you don't. God has to make you willing in the day of His power. He has to draw you with cords of love. You don't have a natural will that would desire to come to Christ as He is received, as He's revealed in this book. Now, I know how preachers preaching, They preach a counterfeit, a false Christ that appreciates you and lifts you up and makes you feel better about yourself. But that's not the Christ of the Bible. So when he says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, death passed upon all men." Now, there is a third, what the Bible actually calls a second death, because that physical and spiritual death come together. There's a second death, and that's eternal separation from God. That's condemnation. That's the wrath of God upon those to whom God imputes, charges, accounts sin. Now, everybody who fell in Adam was ruined by the fall, brought into be subject to physical death and without spiritual life, spiritually dead. But not everybody is going to experience the second death, which is eternal death, which we found in Adam. And that's where we come to the second R. Redeemed by the blood. And whose blood is it? Obviously, it's talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. And what is redemption? Redemption is buying someone back off of, you might say, the slave market, paying the price. It might be buying one back out of debt, paying their debt in full. Redemption. And how does redemption come? We fell in Adam, ruined by the fall. And the only way that we can be saved by God's grace is through the redemption that comes. Now look over at Romans chapter 3. He speaks of this. Verse 23 is the verse I referred to. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's our natural state. But look at verse 24. Being justified. Now what is it to be justified? That's a legal term. It has to do with being forgiven of all our sins and being made righteous in the sight of God. It means that God's justice against me, which is the penalty of death, is satisfied so that I'm set free legally. I'm pronounced not guilty. And it means that God will not charge me with sin. David said in Psalm 32, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, whose sins are covered." And Paul quoted him in Romans chapter 4 when he said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works." My sins have to be charged to someone else, a surety, who can stand in my place and die in my place and pay my debt to God's justice by the price of His death, His blood. That's redemption. I have to have a righteousness that equals the standard of the glory of God. Where am I going to find that? Not in me. Not by my works. I can only find it in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it says in verse 24. Look at Romans 3. Being justified freely, unconditionally, without a cause, by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus as the representative, the federal head of His people for whom He died, known in the Bible as the election of grace. It says in verse 25, Christ whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a justice-satisfying sacrifice that turns back the wrath of God, satisfies His justice through faith in His blood, that's His redemptive work, His righteousness, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That's the sins of the Old Testament saints. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see, in order for sinners to be saved out of the mess that we fell into by Adam and the mess that we got ourselves into by our own sins, is for God's justice against us to be satisfied. God must be just when He justifies, when He saves. He is a God of love, but His love is founded upon justice satisfied. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. justice-satisfying sacrifice. God is merciful, but His mercy is founded upon justice through Christ. He's a gracious God, but grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now look over at 1 Peter chapter 1 and listen to these words in verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. There's redemption by the blood. That's righteousness established, imputed to me, whereby I stand right with God by His grace. Now the third R is regeneration, and it's the new birth. And right here in 1 Peter 1:18, or 1, we have the same thing. He says that Christ was manifest in these last times for you in verse 20. That means He came to earth to do the work. Verse 21, who by Him do believe in God. Those who believe in God have been born again. They've been regenerated. You see, we were set free legally. We who believe were set free legally by the redempting blood of Christ, His righteousness imputed. That's the ground. And as the fruit of that, we are set free spiritually when we are born again by the Spirit, John chapter 3, and given faith, the gift of faith, Ephesians 2:8, that for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So who do by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, the God who saves me by the blood of Christ, the God who saves me based on His righteousness. In verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Look at verse 23. Being born again, or having been born again. See, this is only those who are regenerated. They've been born again by the Spirit, given life, spiritual life. See, naturally, we're spiritually dead, but having been redeemed by the blood of Christ, we will be given spiritual life, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit brings a sinner under the preaching of the true gospel, and gives that sinner life. He makes that gospel the power of God unto salvation by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. This is verse 24. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. And look at verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, do you see the issue there? Regeneration. This is God's people, God's chosen people, whom He chose before the foundation of the world and gave to Christ, made Christ their surety. They were ruined by the fall, brought into sin and death, spiritually dead. And they've all sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if we're His, we've been redeemed by the blood. We've been made righteous in Christ. And the proof of that is the fruit of it. That's regenerated by the Spirit. We've been born again by the Spirit. Christ told Nicodemus in John 3, you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus didn't understand what he was saying. He thought he was talking about physical birth. And Christ told him, He said, look, you must be born of water and of the Spirit, or you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Marvel not that I've said unto you that you must be born again. The flesh can only produce flesh. You can't, listen, there's no physical way that a person can be redeemed by unto salvation or regenerated by the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, begotten again by the word of truth. As Peter said here, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and to the Greek also, or the Gentile. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith, by looking to Christ. Now, I'm preaching to you the gospel. Has it been made the power of God unto salvation for you? Well, do you believe it? Do you repent of everything else? Do you count everything else but dung that you may win Christ and be found in Him, not having your own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God which is by faith? Do you see that you have nothing to recommend you unto God except Christ crucified, risen from the dead? His blood, His precious blood, you present Him before God. And not your works, not your decisions, not your dreams or experiences, but Christ and Him alone, His righteousness alone. Do you see that you have no righteousness to recommend you unto God, but Christ alone, the merit of His obedience unto death? Do you see that you were ruined by the fall, but you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, bought and paid for? You know, everyone whom He redeemed, they will be born again, regenerated by the Spirit, and they will enter heaven's glory. Christ said it this way in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's the Word of God. That's the three R's of salvation: ruined by the fall, redeemed by the blood, and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that God saves sinners, by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, and there's no other way. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.